Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Bushman live on your radio from the road, ladies and gentlemen. And as you know, live radio from the road sometimes can get sketchy in a hurry. Great news, though. We got it together with our tremendous engineers on the back end and low-tech Sam Bushman on the front end. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. And this is Liberty Roundtable Live. It is the broadcast for, what is it already, Friday, March the 12th in the year of our Lord, 2021? Amazing. Time flies when you're having fun. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. It is a freedom-loving, fantastic, we're taking America back, one heart, one mind, one issue at a time, faith-filled Friday. And hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use starts now. Quickly, a recap. Then our guest, Will Nelson, hour one. Our guest, Dr. Scott Bradley in the house, hour two. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. Yesterday's broadcast, the recap, starts now. We had our guest on, Brian Rust, RustCoinAndGift.com, doing a phenomenal job for over 50 years. Brian and his family have been really spending time educating folks about precious metals, helping people understand, hey, what do you got to do? Most important, take possession of the metals. Secondly, you're always best with the metals that aren't numismatic, that aren't, you know what, trading value coins with a bunch of speculative dollars involved, if you will, or speculative margins or value. You're always good. You're always doing well when you take possession of constitutional currency, silver eagle, silver dollars, dimes and quarters, because those are closest to the spot value that you can get. Always a wise choice. RustCoinAndGift.com. The Honest Money Report from Brian yesterday. Gold was at $1,731, down a little bit from what we've seen, but not much. Silver, $26.40. That's spot, by the way, $26.40. But it's instructive to know that to get a modern, printed by the United States Mint 2021 Silver Eagle Silver Dollar, it costs you around $38 to get one of those. So will the real dollar please stand up, is the Honest Money Report point we make. Why, when you take a paper dollar, does it take 38 of them to buy a silver dollar, silver eagle? And why on that silver eagle, silver dollar, does it claim it's a dollar by the United States Treasury, by the Mint, but yet you have the Federal Reserve, the fake banking cartel, and they say they have the dollar, but it takes 38 of one of the fake dollars, the paper dollars, to buy one of the silver eagle printed by the Mint, the Treasury of the United States silver dollar. It's instructive also to know that if you get one of those Sacagawea dollars, right? They're metal also, but they're fake metal, and they're created by the Federal Reserve. Well, you could say they're by the Treasury too, Sam, but then why do they say a dollar on them? So you got three different dollars, ladies and gentlemen. Which one would you prefer, may I humbly ask? All right, there's the Honest Money Report. Brian, Rust Coin and Gift. RustCoinAndGift.com, doing a great job. We also talked about gas prices expected to rise over the next several weeks. So they're going to give you a stimulus check, but don't worry, gas will rise, and then you'll just have to spend it on gas, huh? Senate Democrats pass pork-filled $1.9 trillion COVID bill. Yeah, by circumventing all the Republicans. No Republicans voted for it. One Democrat dissented. The rest of them stuck together and sold us down the river. Yeah, Congress passes Biden's $1.9 trillion bill, House, Senate, and signed by Biden. They say it's the biggest handout, the biggest redistribution of wealth since the Great Depression, ladies and gentlemen. Senator Pat Toomey, Republican of Pennsylvania, spoke out, and he warned. He says, not only are they giving you a bunch of money, but you know what? Democrats are looking for a carbon tax. Beware. Yeah, they're going to pass it. They're going to push it through. We don't have any way to stop it as Republicans. They want to divide us, left, right, Republican, Democrat, and through that divide, they will push their socialist, communist-style agenda. That's an opinion to which I'm entitled, if you will. Daylight savings time is coming up this weekend. The debate continues. That was hour one of Liberty Roundtable Live. I personally am for daylight savings time. I think we ought to move to daylight savings time, and then we ought to stay there. Yeah. I think we ought to jettison all four time zones in America. Just go to two time zones in the lower 48 states, if you will. And it would be 2 hours apart, probably, and everybody would stay on daylight savings time personally. That's how I'd do it if it were me. Nevertheless, it's controlled by your federal government. They're out of control, and they've been manipulating time zones for literally almost 100 years. They've had updates from time to time, but what they really need to do is just get out of it and leave it to the states and to the people respectively. But part of the reason that the states got steamrolled when it comes to time zones and time and the regulation of time, and because the states had all kinds of different ideas, it became such a hodgepodge of confusion. The federal government stepped in and said, all right, now, the problem is the laws are antiquated, out of date. We got to update it. There's people putting some stuff before Congress to hopefully get that done. Time will tell if reality check sets in and they get it done, or if they just talk about it one more year or every 6 months, and then it comes back and they talk about it again. It's all been nothing but talk. That was our One of Liberty Roundtable Live yesterday, available at libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net, live and on-demand radio at your fingertips and free. But if you want to donate, every penny helps. Just add a one first or a greater number, and then put a bunch of zeros when you donate, would you please? We're not into liberalism, but when it comes to donations, be liberal, will you please? All right, second hour brought to you in part by Raw Honey, delivered directly to your door. To learn more, get a hold of Kurt. C-U-R-T at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt at libertyroundtable.com. Or you can text or call 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. You can also get a hold of Kurt via his website, localhoneyman.com. That's localhoneyman.com. Second hour, we talked about Clarence Thomas doing a phenomenal job on the Supreme Court, issues decisive ruling in a religious freedom, free speech case. Dan McLaughlin with the details on that. Great breakdown of that yesterday. Incredible case. When good people stand up, wonderful things happen. The only thing it takes for evil to prosper is for good men to do nothing. Pelosi's H.R. 1 is an authoritarian outrage, says National Review. The U.S. House has passed the greatest possible threat to our nation and its election integrity ever, writes Matt Staver. He's the founder and chairman of Liberty Council, LC.org. I'm telling you, this H.R. 1 is disaster, folks. Stop H.R. 1 now in the Senate. We have time. Call your senators. Fax your senators. Do whatever it takes to get bold and clearly say you've got to reject H.R. 1. You also got to reject the Equality Act. What's that, H.R. 5? You got to stand up, folks, and you got to do it now. We also talked about great news from the great state of Georgia. The state house just passed a huge omnibus election integrity bill with massive election reform involved. And the Georgia Senate also passed a bill restricting, listen to me, restricting mail-in ballots. That's great news. They're also putting together some prosecutions for voter fraud in the Peach State. So keep an eye on that. I have never seen an attack on free and fair elections like H.R. 1, people are saying. You got to flood the Senate with an outcry over this bill. Matt Staver says our legal team is fighting both H.R. 1 and H.R. 5 as we continue also to defend people's freedom of speech, freedom to worship, freedom to assemble, and more. Please join me in prayer for our nation. That's my plea. We also talked about the pandemic 1 year later. Yeah, Utah plans to open up vaccine eligibility for all adults by April 1. Joe Biden says he wants to get that done by May 1 for all adults in the country. What about those who want to choose not to have the vaccine? Do they have a voice or not? And are you going to be able to choose? It's fine that they want to have vaccines available for those who want to take them. But what about those who want to choose not to take them? What about those who say, nah, I don't think I want to take the jab? Are they going to be allowed or free to make their choice? Or no, if you want to murder a baby, it's your body. But if you don't want vaccines, your body's not yours. It's your favorite government institutions. Who has control over your body more? You? Blackout. Anthony Fauci, huh? Just wondering. All right, quick pause. Our guest coming up straight ahead. I am Sam Bushman from the road. So that's a crazy start, but we'll get it all together and break down hard-hitting news the network continues to use for you on your radio.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Hi, I'm Dave. I'm 7 years old. I'm sitting here in the corner having a time out until Mom comes to talk to me. All I did was cut my sister's hair. I was just trying to help. I guess Mom didn't like how I did it. In a minute, she'll be back and ask me if I know what I did was wrong. Maybe I shouldn't have cut her hair. And she'll say we all make mistakes because we're just learning about stuff. And she'll give me a hug and we'll end up talking about more stuff.
No matter what you talk to your kids about, love is what they'll hear.
I really like Mom's timeouts, and I think she likes them too. Yeah, I think they help her remember how much she loves me.
A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at Mormon.org.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio on the faith-filled, freedom-loving, fantastic Friday. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, RonPaulInstitute.org. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, my brother.
Good to be back, Sam. Thanks for having me.
Gunning for you. Boy, howdy, huh, sir?
Yeah, just two more reasons to call congressmen and let them know that you don't want them to be passing these background checks. The first measure is H.R. 8. The Bipartisan Background Checks Act of 2021. And the second reason is H.R. 1446, the Enhanced Background Checks Act of 2021, which extends the review period for gun sales from 3 days to 10 days. So both of these bills are bad. H.R. 8 in particular is moving very quickly. As the gun grabbers in Congress quickly fall in line, they've lined up 131 co-sponsors to this bill already, three of them Republican turncoats, making this very dangerous gun bill a bipartisan threat. So with their newfound majority in the Congress, Sam, they are running very quickly to the left in order to tighten down the screws on all Americans. This bill, by the way, HRA, would create a de facto centralized list of nearly every gun owner in the country under the control of Joe Biden and his band of statists at the Department of Justice and the FBI, who have proven their utter contempt of the Bill of Rights just in the first few weeks of his administration. So we must demand Congress put a stop to this proposal immediately. There isn't much time to act on these, but we've got to act. We've got to let our congressmen know we do not want passage of these two measures. Sam?
One of the most interesting things about this is the House is literally doubling down at breakneck speed on these kinds of bills, whether it be the stimulus checks, the great redistribution of wealth, the great socialism plan, more so than even the Great Depression lull. The House is moving forward really fast, trying to overwhelm us. You're right about that. And the only line in the sand we have right now really is the Senate. And you would say, wait a minute, Sam, we don't have control of the Senate either. No, but we have a lot of filibuster capability. We also have the ability to shut things down via budgetary control, forcing them to use rules and guidelines that use supermajorities, et cetera. Our only hope really is in the Senate that enough senators can dissent. You know what? Kamala, communist Harris. Now, I can call her a communist because I'm convinced that that's what she is, and I'm entitled to my opinion. However, what I'm saying is that we have enough clout there if we use it right. And you say, no, we don't, Sam. They can vote us over and over down. And we don't have enough stoppage because all we got to do is have Kamala, you know, break the tie. That's true factually, but it's not true reality. Let me explain what I mean. Yes, they've got the majority if she votes with them because she can break the tie. That's a fact, right? But what I say by reality is that the Senate oftentimes has been able to stop all kind of things, even when the Democrats didn't have control. They stopped things, because enough Republicans dissented. In other words, the Republicans, a few of them betrayed us and went with, we've got to get good enough at relationships to have the Democrats in the Senate. And then, believe it or not, the Democrats are not perfect, but there's many of them that will stand with us if we, you know what, really use our influence. If we really educate, if we really reach across the aisle and work with them, not in condescending ways, not in abusive ways, but in ways that are meaningful, because relationships matter. And Democrats, some of them, and I'll prove this to you, some of the Democrats are more budget conscientious than the Republicans are. They used to call them yellow dog Democrats or old style Democrats or whatever you want to say. These are people who are Democrats, but they were in many ways more conservative, at least from a budgetary point of view, than many Republicans. The same is kind of true here, Lowell, that I think, you know what, Democrats are a different mind than the Republicans, but let's not let that divide deceive us and think we only have the people in our camp that can make a difference. We need to think broader across the political spectrum and say, listen, I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. I'm going to use my relationship to appeal to your better senses, to say, listen, you might not like guns. You might not be a gun favorite. Favor guns. But the law is the law currently. And the founding fathers have put the Second Amendment in there as a kind of a do not touch thing. And anyway, I go on about this. I don't mean to go on too long, but I do want to make this really important point. Let's not be about the left-right paradigm. Let's not be about the Republicans versus the Democrats. And man, we don't have a prayer on this earth. We can pray hard and we can influence people with relationships. And I'm telling you, the Democrats were so good at that that they stopped many Republican agendas because they got dissenters among our ranks. And if we build relationships, we can create the same. And these will be stand-up Democrats that will defend the Constitution. These are stand-up Democrats that will go to relationship rather than party. And that's really where our, in my opinion, mojo comes from. Lowell?
Yeah, I have two questions about that, Sam. It's not that I'm disagreeing with you at all. I do agree with you. The filibuster in the Senate is a tool by which the minority in the Senate can stop a bad measure from being passed. Totally agree. But the thing that comes to mind was H.R. 1 last week, or maybe it was this week. It was approved by a 50-49 vote. In other words, the minority, well, I guess I could call the Republican the minority party in this case. It's really an even split, 50-50, but with Kamala Harris being a tiebreaker there, you know, you could think of the Republican being the minority party in the Senate. They did not stop H.R. 1 using the filibuster. And I honestly don't know why they didn't do that. I'm curious. Do you happen to know why, or was it not the case that, or is it the case that they trashed the filibuster rule this term of Congress because they knew they could? Do you have any insight on that?
I don't have insight of how they're doing things behind the scenes, no, because I'm not a senator and I don't know exactly all the Senate rules. I understand that not only are there a lot of rules that are arcane, arbitrary, confusing, but rules change from session to session even. And so I don't really have the back end understanding, but that's what I mean by when I talk about these relationships. That's what I mean when I talk about appealing to people's good senses across the aisle. That's what I mean about calling in favors and using your influences. Look, there's a lot of people in the House and the Senate, primarily the Senate at this point, who they built relationships with people who you and I might disagree with and think, man, why would you have a relationship with that person? It doesn't matter. Now's the time to call in those cards. Now's the time to. And so the filibuster is a great tool. I agree. But there are other great tools about committees, about, you know, how quick things come to the floor. About other things that you can work on with people that have maybe negative consequences, but not as bad of consequences as gutting the Second Amendment, for instance. So all I'm telling you is I don't have all the knowledge behind the scenes of what the latest rules and what, you know, they have at their fingertips. But I do know this. There are ways the Democrats in the past have stopped us from crucial things. And I'm not happy about that, but I am saying it provides a playbook for opportunity when we don't have any literal control, when we're the minority party in both the House, the Senate, and we know Joe Biden will sign and sell us down the river. But we do still have quite a bit of influence. And however those rules come out in the latest congressional session or the greatest, latest Senate rules, I don't have the details. But I will say that, you know what, now's the time to use that influence. Because, you know what, they know. That it's a seesaw. It's a back and forth. Right now, the Democrats have control. But you know what? They didn't for a long time before, and they won't in the future. We know that that goes back and forth as people elect and everything else. And so influence matters, and influence can be used not only in public but behind the scenes. And what it takes is a few bold Republicans to stick together and really make the case to the media in more bold ways than they ever have before, Lowell. And what I mean by that is, you know what, I've never seen several senators stick together on anything hardly. They all get isolated and speak out about something, and two or three speak. But imagine if 15 senators came out and said, listen, we will not talk about anything, and we will not discuss anything except for these issues. You know what, we're going to stop gun control. Okay, we don't believe in gun control. The Second Amendment has been, what's that word, sacrosanct or whatever you want to say, for literally couple of hundred years in America, and we're just not going down that road. And they need to appeal to the supreme law of the land. They need to appeal that Congress doesn't have authority to get the Second Amendment. That's the kind of focus we need to have. When we come back, we'll finish up on that. But I will tell you this, how the fight over American freedom will probably escalate is going to be a sad tale, but directly related. We'll talk about it with Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, in seconds on your radio.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Polls show most Americans support the federal COVID-19 relief bill, but if they knew what was in it, they might feel differently. Section 1005 of the bill offers socially disadvantaged farm owners total debt forgiveness, up to hundreds of thousands of no-strings-attached dollars per farmer. The qualification for the support by the federal government is that you cannot be a white-skinned farmer. Treating white farmers like second-class citizens violates the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. Since Hong Kong began vaccinating the public with China's domestically produced Sinovac COVID-19 vaccine called CoronaVac, 3 deaths in 9 days have increased anxiety about the vaccine safety. Monday, a 71-year-old man in Hong Kong died 4 days after receiving his vaccine shot. The patient was reported to be in good health before the vaccination. It is estimated under 5% of China's population has been vaccinated. We are USA Radio News.
It's happened. Since Election Day, more than 5 million people have downloaded the free Newsmax TV app from their smartphone store. It takes seconds, and with the free app, you can watch Newsmax TV right away. Most cable news channels require a paid subscription, not Newsmax. You get real news whenever you want. At home, Newsmax TV is on all major cable systems, and it's free on OTT devices, your smart TVs like Samsung, LG, Vizio, and Roku, YouTube, Zumo, and Pluto. Now, the free smartphone app lets you watch Newsmax easily wherever you are. So check Newsmax.com online for breaking headlines. Then go to the Newsmax TV app to watch the latest news with Sebastian Gorka, Dick Morris, Greg Kelly, Diamond and Silk, Michelle Malkin, Mike Huckabee, Alan Dershowitz, and so much more. Newsmax is already the fourth highest rated cable news channel in America. Everyone is watching Newsmax because it's real news for real people.
More on the U.S.-Mexico border immigration crisis, Dan Naraki reports.
Following a report that U.S. Customs and Border Protection encountered more than 100,000 migrants along the southern border in February, one senator is demanding answers from the Biden administration. Missouri Republican Josh Hawley sent a letter to the White House calling for a hearing on Capitol Hill so senators can ask DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas about the administration's plan for dealing with the issue. Hawley tells Fox News that with a lack of information coming from the White House, participating in a hearing is the least they could do.
This administration's policies are acting as a magnet, and they are creating a full-blown humanitarian crisis at the border. Trafficking is up through the roof. It is through the roof, the exploitation of children, and this administration is doing nothing. They're looking the other way, and as you say, President, he won't even have a news conference. I mean, he won't answer any questions at all. The least he can do is actually send his administration chiefs to Capitol Hill and make them answer questions. What are they going to do about this crisis?
USA Radio News.
On your radio with me. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic on this faith-filled, freedom-loving, fantastic Friday. I am live from the road. Thanks for your patience with me on that. I meant to bring my mixer, and you wouldn't have even known the difference because I would have sounded like I was in studio, but of course, leave it to me to forget it, right? I brought everything else, man. My microphones, headphones, cables, everything. Connectivity to the internet, several different kind of connections for backup, phones and cell phones and everything else to make sure I can get on the air. But, I forget the heart of the whole operation, the mixer. Leave it to me. Now, that's why I need my wife. All right, I digress. Lowell Nelson, Campaign for Liberty, with me. So we got to really jettison these bills that are designed to gut our Second Amendment. Lowell, the Democrats are going for broke on this thing, but I submit they're overreaching. And if they simply obliterate us and ignore us, and relationships don't matter and we can't stop them, then they will overreach and pay in 22. Lowell?
My second question about this, Sam, is a philosophical one. Maybe it's a constitutional question. I was just thinking about that this morning and wondering to myself, you know, if a bill passes Congress, does it actually affect the people of the states, or should it? In other words, the founders, the framers of the Constitution, those who ratified the Constitution, established a government. They represented their states, and they established this general government, and they put all legislating rulemaking power in the Congress. And basically, the general government was to enforce.
But I want to stop you before you even go on, because I think you just kind of committed a falsehood, and I don't think you intended to. But let me explain. You just said all legislative or lawmaking powers in the Congress. That's not true. Okay, what is true is all lawmaking authority related to the delegated responsibilities of Congress. So they don't have lawmaking authority to reach into the states and violate state constitutions. There's 50 of them, by the way. And they don't have the legal opportunity or the moral responsibility to violate those state constitutions. And so remember the separations of powers. Yes, they have the right to delegate all legislative powers is in Congress, but only related to their sphere, to their sovereignty. So there's dual sovereigns in America. There's the states and there's the federal or the general government. They don't have the right to violate their sovereignty reach and reach down into the states for things that we have not delegated to them. So I agree that on the checks and balances on the, let me say this, the horizontal level, yeah, they can't execute and they can't be the judiciary, but they also can't reach into the states in a dual sovereign scenario and take legislative power that violates states' constitutions. They don't have authority. That's why the states have constitutions and the federal government has a constitution, because there's different delegated jurisdictional boundaries that we the people have set, sir. So I don't mean to stop you and argue with the point, but I want to highlight this principle, because if we say all and we let that stand, then you've already lost the discussion.
Yeah, that's exactly the point that that I was making, Sam. Perfectly put.
In other words, feel the thunder.
No, that's great. That's exactly what I was hoping to tease out of this discussion is the idea, the concept that the general government has authority for only those matters given to them by the state. And gun regulation was not one.
I'm going to call it bounded delegation of limited authority. And yet they have all legislative power over that bounded limited authority. I agree.
Yeah. And so if they pass a law that says that firearms sellers, you know, stores have to do background checks on people before they are allowed to sell a weapon to the people, that particular measure of Congress is not constitutional. And in other words, they don't have authority.
Hold on. It is constitutional. If we're talking about the 10 miles square, then they can say that if they want to, and they have all power to decide that for this 10-mile area. And the state should just snicker and go, you guys are goofy. I don't know why you take guns out of your 10-mile area. Doesn't apply to me, thank you. We have a state constitution that you guys tried to violate, and it isn't going to happen on our watch.
Exactly, Sam. That's exactly the point that that I'm making here. And the problem is that even though we agree on that, most, you know, 99% of the people in our country, they don't understand this important point, which is exactly why we're talking about it right here, because we're hoping that everybody in the country will be listening to this show, this radio show, and come up to speed on this point. It's so very important. It's absolutely critical, because this measure from Congress, is H.R. 8 and 1446, if they pass, they should be flatly ignored by the 50 states, by the people in the 50 states, because they do not apply to the gun owners, the store owners, to the people of the 50 states. And unless you're in an area like the 10 square miles of the District of Columbia, or in a magazine, a fort or enclave that's been ceded to the general government of the for the United States, then they simply do not apply. But the problem is, everybody doesn't have that common understanding yet, Sam. That's what we need to talk about. We need to educate one another on this very important point, Sam.
Wow. It's a great point. The only question left now is, do the states have the guts to stand up and to say, you're not going to violate our state constitutions, and we have legislative power as well? And if you don't believe us, ladies and gentlemen, if you think we don't know what we're talking about with regards to this, then my response is, why do states have constitutions? Answer, because the state and the federal government were delegated certain jurisdictional authority and power. The federal government was limited and defined, whereas the states had a lot less limitations, and it was a lot less defined. It was to the states or to the people, respectively, if you look at the 10th Amendment. But the states have their own constitutions, and if they don't have authority within their own sphere, then why do each state have different detailed constitutions? They're not identical across the country, folks. because there's authority. And furthermore, to make matters even more clear for you, there's a separation of powers, the judicial, the legislative, and the executive. That occurs on the general or the federal level, but it also occurs on the state level. May I ask you, what authority of legislative power does a state legislative body have? The answer, relating to their constitution and their jurisdictional reality, to their citizens. And so these dual sovereigns must be understood. Richard Mack's 10th Amendment case highlights this perfectly, by the way. It's one of the greatest 10th Amendment decisions ever known in the country, but especially in modern times. But, Lowell, this clearly helps people understand there are vertical and horizontal checks and balances in the Republic that must be understood. And then we must have elected officials who have the guts to stand up and demand their jurisdictional authority and demand that, look, this is not happening in the state of Utah or Idaho or, you know, Florida, wherever you are. We're going to stand up and say, you're not doing this in my state. We have a right to keep and bear arms. And you goofy folks at the general level can try to push back, try to claim different, but we're not going to allow it. And Richard Mack stood on that very principle and beat Bill Clinton at the Supreme Court. Now, Bill Clinton tried to say, we're going to arrest you, Sheriff Richard Mack, if you don't do what we say. And Sheriff said, no, sir, I won't. And when it came down to it, Richard Mack won in the courts. That is really critical, especially with what we're talking about right now, Lowell.
That's a great point, Sam. I really like the legislation that the state of Wyoming passed in 2014. They said that if a state agent is caught enforcing any provision of federal gun control, he would be subject to $5,000 fine and 1 year in prison, and that if any federal official or federal agent was caught attempting to enforce any provision, gun control provision of the federal government, they would be subject to a $10,000 fine and up to 2 years in prison. And that is a state exercising its authority. And I don't think that, I don't think that they are enforcing the federal gun control provisions in the state of Wyoming, because the state of Wyoming exercised its own sovereignty, its own authority, and said, not in our house. And so I just hold that up as an example. I think all the states, liberty-minded states, need to do that to protect the rights of their own people in their state, Sam.
And I guess I don't know how to respond, except for I pray that we really get this done. And, you know, we really need to kind of discuss how the fight over American freedom will probably unfold or escalate, if you will. Brandon Smith, like Ammon Bundy and others, like Sam Bushman, like Lil Nelson and others, are speaking out boldly about these very issues. And let's talk about how things are likely to escalate and unfold and what we can do peacefully to resolve.
There will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. As a teenager, I gave my first public speech in my church. My hand shook, my heart pounded. I thought to myself, I can't do this, but somehow I did, and because I wanted to talk about things that were important, I persisted. I chided my church as a senior in high school for not seeming to care about the not yet born, for looking the other way, and for not taking a stand on life.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's advanced distance education program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
My fellow Americans, Sam Bushman, Lowell Nelson, Campaign for Liberty.org live. So, ladies and gentlemen, the battle's on. There's Democrats and the socialists and the communists and the ne'er-do-wells that want to destroy the greatest country on the face of the earth. They're going for broke, as Lowell said right before the pause. So, you know what? There's a flurry of attacks against your God-given, inalienable right of self-defense. We got to stand up, ladies and gentlemen. Brandon Smith writes an incredible article, The Fight Over American Freedom Will Probably Escalate. I hate to say that, but how is it going to happen, Lowell?
Well, you know, I like his article, Sam, because he's optimistic. He takes a different tack, or he has a different perspective on the happenings in the world. For example, this coronavirus scamdemic that's sweeping the globe and has for about a year, you know, they predicted 65 million deaths from the coronavirus outbreak. Well, just over a year has passed since the pandemic went international, and the official death count stands at about 2.5 million. So that's like 30 times less, or 30 times fewer people, fortunately, have died from COVID than they anticipated. And so what does that really mean? Well, let's remember that there's roughly, you know, between 2.5 to 3 million people die from, you know, just normally from, you know, flus and diphtheria and so forth, tuberculosis every year. And so the numbers are right in line with what's normal. In other words, this outbreak, this COVID thing, did not pan out the way the globalists wanted it to. And so the death rate for COVID is 0.26%, far below the institution, you know, the way they predicted it to happen. So so that's number one. That's a piece of good news. That's much better than the globalists anticipated or what they predicted. There's also a lot of mass public resistance to vaccinations and to medical passports. This is probably the reason, according to Brandon, why they rushed out the vaccines just in so quickly in the span of 6 months, rather than taking the 5 to 7 years that they normally take to develop a vaccine, because they wanted as many people as possible to take these experimental gene therapy, chemotherapy vaccines before the citizens realized that COVID is a nothing burger. I like that term, nothing burger. And so, you know, that's the next bit of good news, is that not a lot of people are excited about taking the vaccine. And so the fear of this coronavirus, it's waning. That's the third piece of good news. You know, nobody's really concerned about it. I walk around in my circle of friends, my circle of influence, nobody's wearing masks. We're not fearful of one another. And so that's, you know, the public is growing very weary of masks. And we have these many, many states, over 10, 15 states now, are dropping their mask mandates and stopping the lockdown. And so those states that stop these lockdowns and eliminate the masks, their economy is going to boom. And so now we you know, Brandon gets into a little bit of his predictive self here and talking about what's going to happen. Well, the states that don't lock down, that don't have mask mandates, they're going to be demonized by the states who do, and we'll probably have more reason for civil strife here in our country than ever before. And so then you got Congress bearing down on us with the Biden gun crackdown, and they're going to try to push really hard to take guns out of the hands of people, and the people are not going to give up their guns. And so what's going to happen? Well, you're going to have a fight on your hands, and so Brandon Smith is simply theorizing here, looking into his glass ball and thinking that, you know what, it's going to be a lot of people who refuse to give up their weapons against a lot of people who think that you should be forced to give up your weapon. And, you know, it might turn into some civil war here. A successful rebellion against globalism in America, he ends his column, writing, will lead to rebellions elsewhere, but the fact remains that if we lose this battle here in this country, then no one else in other countries around the world will even dare lift a finger. And so, Sam, this battle is ours to take. The future is in our hands right here in the U.S. of A. We need to stop the globalists from their demonic plans here so that we can have freedom everywhere on the planet for the rest of God's children. Sam?
I don't know how to respond except to say this. The battle will escalate because when immoral people are at the helm and they have control and they're seeking for power and they're seeking to deny us of our God-given rights and liberties, I hate to say this, but it's time for Americans to stand up. And I want peaceful restoration. I want peaceful solutions. The only question left is, will they let us? And if they demand too much power, and if they decide to try to steamroll the American people, it isn't going to be pretty, it isn't going to be peaceful, and it isn't going to be fun. I don't want that. I'm not predicting that. I'm just telling you that there's lines they cannot cross. And if they do, it will be difficult in America. And it might take blood to bring back liberties. I don't want that to be the case. I'm not advocating for that. I'm just telling you the reality that when good people do nothing long enough and wicked people lord over them, at some point it boils over. And the way to solve it is for the American people to use the legislative responsibilities they have through their representatives to stop it. And if the representatives don't, they need to find new ones. And if they can't, at some point, the violation of the law by the wicked people who are seeking for power and gain at the expense of the rest of us, they're the ones that are at fault. They're the ones that have the responsibility to stand down. And if they don't, they're the ones then that will be responsible for any direct action that must be taken to quell their belligerence and to stop their assertions of authority that they do not have consent to obtain. So I'll put it that way. That's as peaceful as I know how to say it. I remain peaceful, and I advocate for peaceful solutions. Let's do this before the end of the hour. We want to wrap on the 2021 legislative agenda in the state of Utah. It's the general session, the good, the bad, the ugly. Lowell, I want you just to summarize this, and we need more time for this, but do your best in the remaining minutes we've got, will you?
Happy to do so, Sam. Overall, I don't think we lost a lot of liberty this session. In fact, I think we regained a few liberties here in the state of Utah this session. We didn't go far enough in some cases, but I am giving the legislature a C-plus grade, you know, slightly above average this year. One disappointment was the lack of real election reform, whereas I wanted to return to paper ballots, to get rid of the electronic machinery, cast the ballots in person, count those ballots, you know, that very night in every precinct in the state, and by three election judges who are watched by poll watchers. I mean, that's what we did 20, 30, 40 years ago. It worked great, and get rid of voting by mail. But, see, none of those actual reforms happened. There was some tweaking around the edges, but no real reform. So that was a disappointment. Another disappointment was the reform of the Emergency Powers Act didn't go far enough, although we did make some ground there. We took some power out of the hands of our boards of health, the state boards of health and the county boards of health, and a little bit out of the power of the governor, the hand of the governor, and shifted some of that power over to the legislature. And I view that as a good thing. I don't think we went far enough, but at least we went in the right direction there. Now, the legislature approved over 500 bills this general session, which ended followed about 40 of them, and I'm just going to highlight some of the good bills that were approved. Well, constitutional carry was approved and signed by the governor in the state of Utah, and that means that you're not going to get cited for carrying a weapon underneath your coat because, you know, just because you don't have a permit to do so. That's a good thing. State universities cannot require proof of vaccination, and, you know, unless exemptions are available. That's a good thing. That's the same law we have in K through 12 that was extended on upward through all university at, you know, state universities. So that was a good thing. And also, government cannot require a person to receive a COVID-19 vaccine in the state of Utah. So that was a good change. That was a sort of like we had to have that bill, and it did pass. So there were some good things that happened, and those are a few of them. There were some good bills also that were killed. And here I want to make a point about these puberty-blocking actions taken by parents and doctors on their underage adolescents and teenagers and adolescents. This is a horrible practice that's occurring right here in Utah. Over 500 young men and women are going through this gender-bending chemical treatment here in the state of Utah. Some are mutilating themselves. Well, they're not mutilating themselves. Their parents are mutilating the child. And I call that, you know, child abuse. And we tried to get a bill, HB 92, passed that would make that illegal in the state of Utah, but that failed because our legislators don't have enough backbone. They don't have enough courage. They haven't heard enough from our citizenry to stand up in defense of the children of Utah. And so this mutilation and maiming of the human body will continue here in the state of Utah because legislators did not have the courage to stand up against it. I will note that the Alabama Senate made hormone therapy and surgery for trans kids a felony. I applaud them for that. Did you know, Sam, that individuals who bend their gender are 20 times more likely to commit suicide than the rest of the population? I mean, that is an amazing statistic. One other thing that we did not do.
And the real reason why, Lowell, let's just be clear. The real reason why is because when you turn against God's laws that males are males and females are females and male and female created he them, and when you turn your back on that, then that reality check from God, you're on your own. And when you're on your own, things just don't go well, my friend.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Another bill that did not pass in Utah was the bill that would stop males from who identify as females, from competing in women's sports. That was a very good bill, but it got watered down, finally failed to pass. I will note that the Mississippi legislature voted overwhelmingly to ban biological males from competing against women, 81 to 28 in their House and 34 to 9 in their Senate. So I applaud the legislature of Mississippi for the passage of that measure there. I know this show goes all across the country, Sam, and so, you know, the Mississippians should pat themselves on the back for that measure. And the rest of us, we need to work harder because it's not right for biological males to be competing against their female counterparts. Well, Sam, I realize our time is gone, but that was just kind of a quick summary of the good and the bad here in the state of Utah this legislative session. Sam?
Lowell, Godspeed. Thank you so much for your incredible work, my friend. We'll talk soon on Monday. It will be. Have a delightful weekend. For Sam,
you too,
and Lowell
you.
Nelson, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Donate today.